Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can.
For the love of God, cherish it.
With Dusty Hera.
That's so sad for my team and me. I'm such a big supporter.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
On 1080.
It's showtime.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two, Dusty and Cam in the morning. Thank you for being a part of our morning and letting us be a part of yours. You know, everybody's doing all their shows from their homes now. Chris Cuomo of CNN, he got the COVID-19, and he's still doing his show from his basement, apparently.
Yes.
And you have, like, all the ESPN shows and Golf Channel shows and whatnot. They're all doing them from their, like, home offices.
Mm-hmm. We are not.
No, we're here. We're in our office. Have you ever wondered, like, so you see like these shots at of these people's homes? Mm-hmm. What if, and they're like cleaned up and they all look very nice. Like there's one gal on the Golf Channel. It's the morning drive tweet I'm seeing. Yeah. I can see that she has a nice cabinet and a Murphy bed. It appears behind her.
If I was doing this, I'd be doing it in the bathroom.
Right.
I'd be right there on my, that is my office. So I'd be like, yeah, all right, just set up right here.
But some of them sound like they're in their bathrooms.
Squatty potty ready. And
that's for sure.
Ready to go.
But how many of them do you think are like living in squalor outside of that shot? You know, it's like they have like a little, they have a
show.
Bunch of garbage just like strewn about. Like what if Louis Riddick is a hoarder and all you see is like his nice little cabinet behind him on First Take or whatever, but then it's just piles of trash around him. I'm wondering
pretty
what the
extreme
rest of their houses look like. Because
might be extreme.
Dan Orlovsky did a little behind the scenes thing of his setup.
All those little rug rats running around.
Mm-hmm. And he had pictures and stuff. And it's like he's got this nice, it's a nice clean little setup. But then he's like, this is what I'm looking at. And it's like he's got bed sheets over his windows, so the natural light isn't coming in anymore. Yeah. It looks very weird around him to get the proper lighting.
Got
to
set the stage right.
For his TV shot. Yeah, so I'm just, I'm really fascinated in what most of these look like. And like, on First Take, is Stephen A. and Max, are they doing their shows from home or are they in a studio? Because they have the same backdrop as if they're on set.
Excellent question. Now,
or
some
is it
of them
green
have,
screen?
I think they're all, they could be green screen. They could, a lot of them have their own setups where they were sent that and they have their own spots. Yeah. I mean, you could just go to any little station spot that they have. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, they go to a local TV station or whatever. Mm-hmm. How many people are going to be there? Mm-hmm. All right, we'll have more of your magic wand, a blank slate, get creative. What would you change in sports? Oh, one of my things too, I didn't get to, is in my better fan experience, every seat with the seat back in a stadium. No more bench seating. Seat backs.
Seat backs.
Unless it's a student section. They need benches. But if you in like a college area. But
so you're
great.
Getting rid of the entire Rose Bowl. Like you're just blowing up the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, no, I'm just putting a seat back on all of them. Not getting rid of it. I'm just give me something to lean back on.
It's
instead
all about
of
the uncomfortableness. We need to go back to when it was in the 30s and 40s and 50s, man. You had to suffer when you were there watching sports.
Wearing a suit.
Stand up. wear a hat and a suit.
Yeah, but no one wants to suffer anymore.
That's right.
There's so many other good alternatives.
So stay home.
My whole thing is make it a better...
Care more, go out there.
Yeah, well, Cam, no, my magic wand is making it a better experience.
I never said care more, show up at the game. I said care more and...
Be uncomfortable.
Be uncomfortable.
That's the whole magic wand I want to wave is be more comfortable at the games.
I want to ask yourself this truthfully, though. Do you go... Because I find more enjoyment sometimes by being a part of and seeing the people and being around friends and seeing classmates and tailgating than I do the actual in-game experience. Is that just me?
No. No, but the experience is part of it.
The experience is part of it, but the game is almost third or fourth.
But what if they made the game so great that it was actually
it's not possible.
Second?
It's not possible to make the game great. If you tell me that I have a seat back, that's not going to change
make
my
games
experience.
Great again. Well, I know. It's
if
a whole
I
bunch
can
of
gamble,
things.
It's not going to change my experience. It's if I have Wi-Fi, that's not going to do much for me. But there might be a few out there that it do. But I think the experience is just being there.
If you had cheaper tickets, cheaper food, you had the Wi-Fi, you had the seat back, you had shorter lines at concession stands and bathrooms, and you didn't have to wait in a line that goes all the way around the concourse.
Well, you were at
to
Jerry's
go pee.
World. Wasn't it a pretty good experience?
And Jerry's World is almost nailing it, man.
Yeah. So, and it's
I mean,
huge.
They,
and it's, yeah.
But yeah, but it's expensive to get in there. It's expensive to buy anything in there, but they're nailing almost everything else. Jerry's World is almost the closest thing to what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think that's it. Well, that's for football, certainly.
Yeah,
certainly.
Absolutely.
It's how you do it.
Did you watch NBC Sports Network had, was it like 732 on the old Comcast? They played old throwback Sunday night football games. No, 732. Not Northwest. The main NBC Sports channel.
Oh, okay.
They're playing throwback Sunday night football games.
Uh-huh.
Madden and Michaels on the call for a game last night.
You know, it's funny you say that.
It was so good hearing John Madden's voice.
Oh, I love his. I miss Madden Summerall. You know what's really bizarre that you just mentioned that? I have my habitual dream that do you have your dreams where you're constantly get the same dream over and over again?
Mm-hmm.
I know there's meaning to it, but I always have the same dream, and it depends on which team. It's either at college or all my NFL teams where I show up, I'm getting ready for the game, and everybody's getting out of the locker room, and I can't find any pants that fit. And I'm going to I'm a Patriot at this time, and I'm trying to get my pants, and I get the guys, where's the pants? The pants. Mm-hmm. And I finally get my pants, and I'm the last guy running out of the tunnel, and I get out on the field, and there's John Madden and Pat Summerall in pregame, and they're just like talking and hanging out. I'm like, that's John Madden and Pat Summerall. I have the same damn reoccurring dream all the time. Doesn't even matter. It's one of the weirdest things ever. But it's the anxiety of being a former athlete, of always either being late or can't get out there in time. I want a dream person to tell me what the hell that means. Is there anybody out there that knows that? I can't stop it.
Anxious. Maybe that you need more sleep.
Maybe that I already know I'm crazy and I'm bald and I'm a redhead. I already know that I'm nuts and I'm full of S a lot. But what does that mean?
I don't know. Do you want to get a psychologist on?
I don't know. You psychologist. Somebody's got to be like a dream expert. If you're always
Hey, Buck.
It's like the lateness.
Book a dream person.
Wait. You guys don't ever have that dream where you're late to something? You can't ever get there on time?
I've had various recurring dreams throughout my life, and I usually don't have the being late one. I have like
you can't get out there.
Chased
you can't,
ones, yeah. Like where,
or where you
like
can't run. You can't get out there fast enough.
Mine is. I feel like I'm in quicksand when I'm trying to run. I am, and it's late to practice, late to a game.
Yeah, that's
and,
the thing. That's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
but it literally feels like I'm knee deep in sand trying to run, and it's like you'll never get there
can't
on
get
time.
There.
Yeah,
can't
that's
get my
the
pads
one that
on, can't get my shoes on, my helmet, I don't have a chin strap, I'm trying to run out there.
What does it say about me that I don't think I've had that dream in quite some time? I can't remember the last time, because you wake up panicked from those dreams.
Oh, God, there's nothing worse than being late for football. It's terrifying.
Well, you know what's worse than being late for football?
What?
Being late for hot and cool. It is 7:12.
Yeah.
What's hot?
Spoken!
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot!
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
All right, Buck and I were talking about this before the show. He said, how ridiculous is it that you have, this is the time of the year we have top 14s being thrown out there? Top six, I'm going to release my top 90 teams that have offered me a scholarship. Well, that's happening right now. And the University of Oregon men's basketball team has some big holes to fill. And they may be back in the game for one of, I guess, last year's top prospects. Johnny Juzang is the young man's name. He's a freshman at Kentucky. He was a five-star recruit, 6'6", 200-pound wing. And his top six are Oregon, UCLA, Villanova, Texas Tech, Arizona, and Notre Dame. So it is top 1 billion season in high school and college transfer portal now. I think it's the most ridiculous thing that we see.
Really?
I'm blessed to receive my 500th offer. Yeah. Here's my top 14 schools.
It's a different,
is it
it's
really
a different
top
time.
14?
It's a different time. And when you put out your, you know, the little college logos in the background.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so this person put out every logo?
No, he has six.
Oh, I thought
Johnny
he put out
Juzang.
14.
No, there are top 14.
I've seen that recently. I saw a kid.
14?
That said, here are my top 14.
Oh,
I'm like,
geez.
Cool flex, bro. You're just saying that you have 14 offers or more than 14 offers. Like, come on. That's not even whittling it down.
Nemec wrote an article on Oregon Live, and I thought it was pretty funny. Jackson Light, who is one of Oregon's top recruits.
Is he the O-lineman that decommitted?
No.
From Oregon?
No, this is funny, though. This
he
is
good. He released his top six, and it's six different Oregon logos.
He's got a duck.
Good.
He's got the Olo. He's got the wings.
I like that.
He's like, yep, here's my top six. You're fine, guys.
Who's the O-lineman that I saw that did that? Was that a different guy?
That decommitted?
Yeah.
I did see that
Oregon.
As well.
Who
I'll try
is that?
I'll try to come up with that.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I totally brought that up.
No,
it's on the Twitter feed.
This is it. This is in the, this is on Oregon Live too, one of Nemec's articles.
Okay.
Bram Walden.
That's who it is.
No, he released his top 12. Top 12.
Top 12?
Top 12 schools.
All right. It's a different time, man.
What do you need?
At least he didn't take a screenshot of his notes in a five-page dissertation of why he's choosing these top 12.
Let me tell you why.
Please respect my decision.
Right. Please respect me.
Have you ever wondered what Tom Brady will look like in a Buccaneers uniform? You're going to find out on Tuesday.
Are you excited, Dusty?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be happy for Tom. You know, this is, for Patriots fans and Tom Brady, I think most of us are like the couple. We were married until the kids got out of high school. They're off to college, and now it's like, I think we just need to go our separate ways. This has run its course. I appreciate your time. I'm going to handshake, and it'll be an amicable divorce. So I'm happy for Tom, yeah. Good to see him in a Bucs uniform. They're unveiling their new unis a week from yesterday.
You
so
knew Tommy
from.
Was going to be the guy that unveiled it.
Do you think they're going to have
braces,
him model?
All full knee braces on?
His Michelin Man ankles taped up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to have somebody who's a little bit more lean, maybe Evans.
What?
Looks good in a uniform.
I don't need to see the guy that looks good. I want to see all the O-linemen in it.
In the
sharpened
white?
Sharpened up, all white.
In the white unis?
Because linemen love white.
That is so rude. Nobody.
Horrible.
All right.
Ever put linemen in all white?
Texas. Looks like a little snowman out there. It's adorable. Sabrina Ionescu, the awards keep rolling in for her. She was awarded the 2019-2020 Senior Class Award in women's basketball, which is given to the best student athlete. Oregon State's Michaela Pivick, also on the first team of the class award, and Ruthie Hebert of Oregon landing on the second team. So not only are they good basketball players, these women are classy and good students as well. How about that?
It's good stuff.
Sports are slow right now, man.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's get into some of the good stuff. excuse me. We talked about this earlier, but it's of note to the NBA and their Players Association talking about putting 25% of players' remaining salaries into an escrow account. And what that means for the players is they just want to make sure that they can smooth the salary cap over in the event So the salary cap doesn't drop as dramatically as they think it will if the season is fully canceled. It's huge.
It's fractions. It's literally fractions. It's one quarter of their salary.
Of their remaining
salaries. It's not their entire year's salary.
But you put it together and that'll save the salary cap from being a catastrophic drop in next season, because that's what we could be seeing with multiple billions of dollars being lost.
It's probably going to have to be done throughout a lot of leagues at this point. There's going to be some concessions have to be made. If you're in a performance-based business and there is no performance, you know, the benefits of having guaranteed contracts and fully guaranteed contracts and stuff like the NFL is that every year it's year to year, and some of that escrow money getting moved out. The NFL is going to be in much better shape financially than any other league because they don't have to fund all those things.
Yep. All right, and the Seattle Seahawks may have options if they don't get Jadeveon Clowney's services. Everson Griffin, free agent, edge rusher. According to multiple reports, he wants to go to Seattle. And so if Clowney gets his big payday, there could be a guy lining up, literally lining up, to go and play in Seattle.
I thought Ngakoue, am I saying that correctly?
Yannick Ngakoue?
Ngakoue. That one is still potentially in play, but he is throwing so much shade at his team. Back and forth on Twitter.
Not happy, that man.
Not happy at all. It is. It's ugly there. I mean, I think everybody wants out. I mean, even Leonard Fournette?
Lenny?
Yeah, he's mad because they
trade
all his
buddies. He's bad-mouthing it, too.
Well, that's what happens when you go and just clean house, man. The only guy's left standing is going to be Gardner Minshew.
How is Doug Marrone even still at this point? It's amazing.
Rebuild, bud.
Amazing.
All right, coming up next, the NFL expanding their playoffs as well to 14 teams. And one move that they made could be the future. Dustin Cam on the Fan. Ooh, how about this one? This is brutal. Oregon City High School, a couple years ago, you were talking about linemen hate white uniforms. They had white uniforms with silver numbers. Oh. I hated when they were doing that.
Calligraphy numbers. Can't even pick them out.
Calligraphy.
Well, you know, they just look terrible.
Oh.
You know, you can't even read them from anywhere on the ball field.
When you went white on, like, white on white numbers or black on black numbers, I remember Tigard. Tigard had black jerseys with the gradient numbers that faded, which was forest green gradient into black. It was impossible.
I called so many high school football games this year where one of the teams was a color on a color with a tiny bit of piping around it, and you can't even tell.
It's terrible. It's just terrible.
And before they had the rule that you had to even have piping around it, like, I was doing sidelines for our high school games of the week, and Swag would be like, I can't see the number, and I would be on the sidelines going, I can't either. Like, I'm standing 20 feet away. You could barely even read them.
That's one of my favorite rules that the WIA and OSAA made, the changes with uniforms, being able to have to see them now.
Gosh, ridiculous.
Remember when Oregon had the font on their jerseys that was, and I think they kind of still do, that's like the skinny, this tall, skinny nameplate font.
Yeah.
And they were putting reflective
on
white jerseys. Yeah. I mean, what's the point? You can't even read it.
Yeah.
At night, when a car drives by, you can see it.
Sick.
Awesome. All right. But that's a bad look for when, if you have white uniforms, silver numbers, and then light silver pants. He said it was bad. That was what they wore for the team picture, too. Don't do that to your linemen. Put them in the dark unis, you know, for the team picture. It's just rude.
Mm-hmm.
All right. NFL officially expanded the playoffs to 14 teams yesterday.
It's good.
Surprised? No.
No.
No. But here is something that I think a lot of the complaints are about is, oh, we're going to see so many bad teams in the playoffs now.
All two of them?
Huh? Yeah, right. Every year there's going to be teams with bad records that are going to get in, and they're going to have losing records. And it's, what kind of playoff team has a losing record? Well, this is something that Pro Football Talk dove into. It said, according to the NFL, since they expanded to 12 teams in 1990, if you would have had a 14-team playoff, they would have had 60 more playoff teams. Of those, 44 would have had a winning record. So 73.3%. Another 15 would have been 500. So just a 500 record, that's 25%. So only one team of 60 of all of the extra playoff teams, if you go back to 1990, would have made it with a losing record. So to those saying that since 1990, if you go back historically and you look, only one team would have made it with a losing record. When you expand to 14 teams, it's not going to affect, like, bad teams aren't going to be getting in.
Well, it's the funny thing, because this is, the NFL is doing the same version of what college football does with bowl games. Okay, first it was six, and then they're like, oh, we got so many bowl games. We have advertisers that want to pay all this money, and they want a sponsor, so maybe we'll go with five. Okay, if you have five wins, we'll let you in. This is the NFL needing to get more revenue because their product can sell, and the only way to grow your revenue is to expand and make more games. Is that really a bad thing?
Nope.
It doesn't change anything about who the best teams are going to be. Mm-mm. It's not like you're going to see these sneaky 3-13 team get in and cause a bugaboo. No, this is great. It's more football for us as fans. This is the best thing you could ever happen.
What would be unfortunate, and this will in all likelihood happen, but it happens to other teams anyways, and good teams it happens to. It just happens very rarely. Is like if you have a team that starts out, I don't know, like say the Seahawks. They start the season 8-0 with Russell Wilson. If Russell Wilson gets hurt and they melt down and they lose their last eight games, theoretically, you know, and that team ends up getting in, like you, and you're sitting there going, oh boy, but they hold some sort of tiebreaker over a healthy team. That's what's going to suck. But guess what? That's also football.
That's exactly right. Because injuries, you can't predict injuries. A team could be great and then suddenly be bad. And then you just think you're locked down solid. Yeah. Also, you could think a team is really, really good, like Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson, and get into the playoffs and lay an absolute egg and embarrass and get just run out of the field. Because that's the unpredictability of how football is. You don't get a series like baseball and basketball. Mm-hmm. You don't get that luxury. You have to bring it. So if you're not healthy, and that can change at any point in time, that's what makes it go great about playoffs. And that's why college football needs to adapt. This one game in is lunacy. It just there's so many factors that go into it, and it makes the NFL king.
One thing that they slipped into this, CBS and NBC are going to be getting the extra wild card games, which, shocking. But
shocking that CBS and NBC get it?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, nobody's, I was being sarcastic.
Oh.
It's sarcasm. Because those are, we're used to having those teams have the, or those networks have the wild card games instead of ESPN or Fox being the other ones. It'll go to NBC and CBS. But what is a little bit surprised, and I love this idea, is that the game that'll be on CBS will also be aired on Nickelodeon in a production geared toward a younger audience.
That's wonderful. I love it. I absolutely love it.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. The game's never been safer. It's fun to watch. You get your kids in there. They get a chance to see a different version, a different call, whatever you want to do. I think it's great.
What does that look like, though? What does a production geared towards a younger audience look like? And that's what I'm trying to envision here, because if done right...
More music, more sound, probably more happen.
Who's doing the play-by-play?
Oh, the Wiggles.
You know?
The Wiggles.
Yeah, right? Because if you go corny, kids will see through that as well. Like, give them something that is educational and informative about football. And also, I mean, you mentioned it. The game's never been safer. This is a great way for football to connect to the younger audience that maybe they are missing a connection with.
Give them something that might be interesting to them. Maybe change the way the voices are. You don't need Serious Guy. You know, I mean, it's not going to have Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call on Nickelodeon. You could just make it some sort of, it's going to be trial and error.
Yes.
For sure, because most kids can't sit down and watch 3 hours and be fully engaged for 3 hours. That's just not possible. So you're going to get them in parts. You might get them in one play a series or one or two, and then you bring in a whole different kind of broadcasting experience. But your advertising also opens you up, and you got to think about this side. It opens up your advertising window, because we all remember the commercials in between cartoons, or the commercials of things that are targeted just for us, the Lucky Charm commercials, the Stompers, and whatever kids are now targeted. That is what the NFL is trying to do. Don't get it wrong here. They want to bring in younger viewers and families and stuff to watch this, But it's a whole different type of advertising you're going to open up to.
Yeah, and for families that are wanting to, you know, keep your kids away from, you know, vaping ads or beer ads, boom, you're right there. And the NFL is going to make a ton of money.
Well, how nice, though, really, if you're sitting around watching with your kids, younger kids, how nice would it be able to watch a version where you don't have pop-up Cialis ad and boner pill and alcohol and all? If that's the type of family you're with, and that's to each their own, you don't have to mute it. You don't have to do it. It might be geared more towards family advertising of things that you'd like to see in a different version, and I can respect that.
You know, that's something that our family does. You know, is what... What gets my kids don't understand the Cialis or Viagra ads, but you know what?
I constantly got to answer questions.
Yeah, but
like, what is that?
Yeah, your kids are at that age.
I'm like, all right.
You know what gets my kids right now?
What's that?
Horror movies.
Oh.
You know how they have like the thriller movies where like they have like a ghost and you have the screaming?
Oh.
Like my kids are watching that. Like they're 6 and 3. Like that terrifies them. And like they know when certain ads come on now. My daughter will go, cover your eyes, bub. And they just cover their eyes and like they're used to it now. And you won't have to do that.
It's so true. The advertising to me is more violent and more aggressive and more disturbing than the football game itself. Football's like why? It's like, oh my God, we get a break. Guys are running into each other. Wonderful.
2 years ago when my daughter was 4, there was one where like this gal was crawling out from underneath a bed and like something grabbed her and pulled her back under. And it's like her like scratching her, you know, hands across the floor and the fingernails are screaming. She's like saying help. And my 4-year-old daughter, when the commercial came, like went off, she was just jaw dropped. And I was like, ooh,
yeah.
I'm going to have to explain that one to mom.
Yeah.
You know, which is great. Always,
well, it's a male filter audience. I mean, really it's targeting male filter audience, but it's not that way anymore.
Yeah.
It needs to be family oriented. And football needs to be that way.
And this is a great way to do it. Nickelodeon. I'll be fascinated to see how they pull that one off and what that looks like. Because if done properly, it can be something that the whole family can watch and have it like, as this texture says, they used to do NBA games with pop-up video. Remember that on VH1 where they give you fun facts? Mm. Like Nickelodeon just popping that up on the screen. Fun facts of football and stuff.
Go ahead. Something to think about in the break maybe. Who would you want to be the commentators, assuming you use people that are recognizable to us?
And kids.
Right. I mean, like, I'd imagine you want a former player in there, and you probably want someone with broadcast experience, so who are those people going to be?
Mm. All right. Ponder that for a second. 55305, that's Fantexign. Here's Buck. All right, 55305, Fantexign. Buck posed a question. NFL's playoffs, they're going to give a playoff game to Nickelodeon. It'll be simulcast on Nickelodeon. And it'll be geared towards kids. And Buck asked the question, who do you want doing the play-by-play? And I think the easy one, it's Gronk. Gronk is just a big kid who knows football. And he can relate it to football. But Gronk also is big, dumb animal, excitable. And he'll also throw an innuendo that parents would find funny. Like, that's what I think is great about Pixar movies. Is that they have ability to do that.
I would like my idea, and that's not bad. It's not bad. Gronk could be kind of, it'd be kind of fun. I have the idea of having Disney characters or Muppets do, like I would like Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog to broadcast a game. I would like the two old guys, at the top.
SpongeBob and Squidward
to do a game and broadcast a game in their voices. You could have the girls' version. You could have the Frozen girls. They could do one. And you could, I mean, whatever way you can be creative with it, if it's for young kids. I know there's a lot of rights and issues. But if I was thinking outside the box, any type of cartoon character, if I could have Foghorn Leghorn and Yosemite Sam do a broadcast, that would be great.
But this is the thing. I like that idea, but wouldn't it be more successful if it was something that both the parents could watch, or parents and children could watch together?
Yeah, I would.
Because I'll
tell
you what, I'm throwing my TV through the wall if it's SpongeBob and Squidward are doing a football game.
But that's
together.
There's you can poke holes in any option at this point, man. I can poke holes in Gronk would make it 5 minutes without stumbling on himself. You thought Booger was bad? Holy smokes! But you just don't. Yeah, there's any idea can be thrown out there to see what works.
See, but if you're going, and that is a that is probably down closer to what they're going to do. And if you're going to do it geared towards kids, just go and gear it towards kids. But I think this could be primed for the return of Tony Siragusa.
Oh, the goose.
The goose. Because he's just, like, you got to have somebody big and loud. Like, this is a total, if you had a moment to bring an offensive lineman in to a broadcast, this is it. Because they are just big, a lot of big, lovable guys.
Mm-hmm. Madden would have been great at this.
He would have been great. You know, just talking to kids. And that would be very fun to see. Is like Goose coming back or doing something like Gronk. But Anna and Elsa would be an interesting move.
It would be strange, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But if you're gearing something towards kids, you know, go and get it.
Well,
you tell me those guys, that wouldn't draw the attention of kids? Dora the Explorer?
How much does it matter if it's live? Because, I mean, obviously, if it's not live, if you're post-producing it after the game's over and you're putting those voices on it, it's fine.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You just do a little, it doesn't even have to be live.
But are you feeding them lines, though? Like, like you would have like a normal commentator do it and just give them what they would say and have Anna and Elsa say it. So the content is good, but the delivery is for children.
Exactly.
And it's, now it's we're getting somewhere.
That's voiceover work about. Is all it is. If you're just making them do voiceover work, whoever the people are, giving them something to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Reading some scripts. That's what they do. They read scripts.
Oh, Tom Brady, back to pass. Oh, look at that.
And then Miss Piggy breaking down the Spider 2Y banana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slapping him upside the head.
Down to our
What you have here is a sluggo.
You have there. You guys are loving this idea already.
Throwing
it's fantastic.
It down to the sidelines to our sideline reporter, Animal.
Mm-hmm.
Animal! What do you see there? Touchdown!
Swedish chef.
The Swedish chef, man.
Thanks for the insight there, Swedish chef. That's great. And now, halftime show.
Oh, these guys suck.
Could you imagine Fozzie Bear interviewing Bill Belichick walking into halftime? Waka waka. Huh?
It's already been addressed. You know it's great.
It is great. I think that you're onto something with the Muppets. Bring them up. Let's do a Muppets broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Or what if it was the traditional broadcast, but every time they did the booth shot, it was just of a Muppet Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels.
Yeah. Crank Yankers. That's the same thing. That's all it is.
Give them all their own Muppets.
Yeah.
Real people. Okay.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
And just Muppets doing the NFL. Spectacular. Who's the giant guy that's not a he's like in the costume? What's his name again? He's the big scary guy that runs around.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Shaggy
his
dude
name.
You know his name?
Yeah.
Gosh dang it. Her guy's name,
I don't know. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. He looks like he's mean. He looks like he's from like a from the
he's
what
like
was
a
that
Sasquatch
book called?
He's a big Sasquatch.
Where the wild things are.
Where the wild things are.
Yeah, he looks like one of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. All right. Well, Muppets.
Animal and the Swedish Chef going after it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, on the
mo. And Beaker.
That thing's name is Sweetum.
Sweetum. Never would have known that.
Yeah.
Why did I not know that one?
I don't know. I just looked up Big Shaggy Muppet, and thankfully I got the Muppet.
There he is.
Get Romo on the broadcast, and he gets slimed every time he gets us a play wrong.
Super sloppy NFL
this would
broadcast.
Be fun. Slime the broadcasters. Mm-hmm.
Slime.
Mm-hmm.
You have to climb the aggro crag at the end of every quarter. Boom.
Oh.
All right.
That's when the slime's sliding down.
As if we haven't already, let's go off the rails next. What if you had no idea any of this was going on? There is actually a large group of people who have no idea that COVID-19 is happening. Who are they? Next on The Fan.
What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
Fungal spore.
Growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
Adding on to the Muppets idea, Ryan says, have Waldorf and Statler in the nosebleeds of the stadium, the old men. They could just heckle every time a bad play happens, like when you drop a ball or you have a referee blow a call. I think Muppets are the answer. Muppets are the answer, my man, for Nickelodeon's broadcast.
You're welcome.
Got to do it. To do it.
Cookie Monster. Did you see that one? Yeah, I read
Cookie
that.
Monster
just,
instead of Booger.
cookies. Chocolate chip.
All right. Boom. We solved it. Nickelodeon, you're welcome. That'll be $5 million, please.
Mm-hmm.
So coronavirus has the world on pause. Literally a global pandemic. But I saw this article, and this comes from the French Navy, where... And I don't know if they do this in the United States or not. It doesn't say here if they do this in the United States, but they're talking about in the French Navy, they will send down submariners. So the submarine.
What?
The seamen on the submarine there, you know, the people working on the submarines.
Yeah.
When they go underwater, they will be spared bad news under transmissions and communications with, you know, topside above water, because it is, you know, mentally, it's hard to be underwater. We think quarantine is bad now where you're just looking outside. Could you imagine being underwater for weeks on end in a submarine?
No.
And just kind of walking back and forth. Yeah, like that is brutal. So they are often spared bad news. And there's this, I saw this via KGW. That they're talking to a commander of the French submarine squadron who says they won't know. The boys need to be completely available for their missions. They have no idea that coronavirus is happening right now. And there's probably, you know, a lot of that it's become a global pandemic, I should say, because coronavirus has been around for a while. They're not there since like January or December when it started in China. But there, it's feasible that there's large groups of people around the world, not just in the French military, but in other militaries as well, that have gone like underwater in submarines and they've been there for a couple of weeks and they won't know about coronavirus until they come back up.
It's crazy.
Could you imagine that world, that coming back and just being like, whoa.
Yeah. How quickly things have changed. Bonkers.
Yeah. Like, think of how much our world has changed in 3 weeks. Since, you know, I think for us here stateside, although Seattle and the Kirkland area were getting hit hard by it more than 3 weeks ago, it was that day the NBA canceled. And then that is when I think it started standing still and it started hitting home.
Rudy
this
Gobert.
Is a serious thing. Yeah.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert.
That's when it started here. Think of from when March 11th, that was March 11th. To where we're at right now.
No, it seems eons ago. That's what I'm saying. It's the longest month we've ever been associated with.
Yeah.
Each day is, none of us, I don't know if anybody, well, there are people that have been alive for quite some time that have seen some amazing, amazing things and gone through some tragic times. And I can equate it to 9/11 and going through 2008 and all of those things. Those are the things that I've seen and can remember the most. But there's nothing like this.
So for a frame of reference here, the French submarine missions that are in this article, they last 60 to 70 days with 110 crew members. So a crew that left in February won't be back until the end of April in these scenarios. Putting that in perspective, March 1st, France had 130 confirmed cases of COVID-19 and 2 deaths. In under a month, those numbers have surged to 2,600 dead and 40,000 sickened.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have another month on top of that. What are those numbers going to be like? And they'll have no idea.
No idea.
Crazy to think of. And at the same time, I also go, that's kind of unfair to those people, because what if they have family members that are going through their stuff, you know, like losing family members and loved ones and stuff?
Yeah. Very difficult to deal with.
Yeah. And Buck, you were mentioning there's this tweet going around that a guy's boss was.
Yeah, I don't know if, and this is one of those things that it could just be something someone's making up on Twitter, but a guy said that his boss was going on like a sabbatical or a hiatus for 8 weeks and was going somewhere out in the woods, off the grid, without communication, internet, technology. And they were leaving on like January 23rd, which was just a couple days before Kobe Bryant passed away. So this person's going to come back basically at the, or I guess would have just come back at the end of this month to find out that Kobe had passed, there's no basketball, and that there's no other sports, and that the coronavirus is spreading like wild after they just been in the woods by themselves for 8 weeks.
Crazy.
Hard to imagine coming back to all that.
What if there's places that you can Airbnb or anything and just say, I want to go to such seclusion, nothing but building a fire and food is there for just like, five, I don't know, 2 months or something like that. I wonder if there are places like that.
I believe that's called the state of Montana.
Well, no. I mean.
You know, like you can go out and you.
What's the safest state to be in? Is Montana the safest state to be in currently?
I would.
If you want to talk about cases.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I know the only continent that it hasn't got to is Antarctica, and I feel like that's not very inhabitable.
I don't think it's going to get there. I mean, they're probably just cutting off everything, but I don't know. I don't know what state has the fewest cases. I did see that Dr. Esther Chu, who's been tweeting all this stuff about on the Twitter bots, she's a health policy and advocacy for safety and equity of work. She's a doctor, and she was tweeting that the curve is flattening in Oregon. So what we are doing here in Oregon is actually working, and it's working in a big way. And there's several other states where it is. They're doing a good job of it, but you know, the peak apparently was supposed to be on April 24th, according to the data at healthdata.org. Mm-hmm. And, our peak was supposed to be April 24th here in the state of Oregon. Today, it's projected to be May 3rd, which is actually a good thing, extending it out, because when you talk
slowing it down.
Yeah, flattening the curve is, yeah, you know, literally taking that high point and pressing it down so it flattens out and spreads out. And we are currently not on pace for a bed shortage, but I mean, it should be reiterated, and it bears repeating several times over. That means what we're doing now is working. Don't change that.
Yeah.
Because you don't want it to peak back up. But, you know, Oregon is one of the very few places where it
well,
is.
Well, there's a lot of places that aren't taking it serious. I mean, there's quite a few. There's states in Florida. I mean, I was reading a New Jersey couple here just earlier they've been arrested and charged with child endangerment after hosting a party for 40 or more guests during this pandemic.
Whoa.
Talking about not taking it serious and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know if you've been on the Twitter cesspool, the lady, as we call it, I guess they called Karens now. Is that the, anytime you're getting an angry mom, they're called a Karen?
Yeah, that is a Karen.
Is that the lady from the bad blades, the Oakley blades and the flip phone out? Is that
no,
her?
No, that was
is that kind of, was
Barbecue
she a Karen?
Becky. Was,
oh, was she Barbecue Becky? I thought she was a Karen.
That was Barbecue Becky.
But anyway, Karen is yelling at some teenagers that are driving in a car, social distancing by literally spittle running out her mouth through their window, saying your booty is grass.
Yeah, she's calling the cops because like
the cops.
Two kids were driving around.
Which I don't know. Whatever. There's things that we think that are weird and strange that I someone sneezing at this point. There's just a lot of different thoughts right now going on.
Yeah, that is amazing.
But don't anger suburban mom. That's just I'm just a warning.
Yeah.
Do not anger suburban mom.
A Karen is usually a white suburban mother in her, late 30s to early 50s who will give you the
once over
for doing anything. And I understand what she was doing. Like, she's taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And being like, hey, idiots, don't go outside, and you can't go and pick up your buddy and sneak out of your house. That's not smart. But to do the whole leaning into their car, you're going against your entire point of why you're upset when you're getting that close to them and spitting all over them.
You're definitely angry.
And then don't call the cops. Karen. Don't be that lady. All right, we're getting a lot of Navy facts on here right now.
I'm sure there's definitely a few that are out there that might know a little bit more about the Navy.
Well, yeah, I'm just going off of what the French Navy is saying. Yeah. And this text says that most U.S. naval deployments are at least last 6 months. The longest float I was on was 9 months, no contact without censorship.
Wow.
So, and that's the whole point of this is that, like, we know they can communicate with people back on land, but they don't give them the bad news that, hey, by the way, when you guys left, coronavirus was just in China, but now, in using the French, for example, there's 40,000 people that have it in France. And they're not giving them those sorts of news because of kind of what you go through mentally being in a submarine. I thought it was fascinating. Fascinating to see. And I couldn't imagine being like 6 to 9 months. That's crazy.
When you look at people now, do you get side eye, or do you get a little bit like you guys when you look at each other? Maybe this is for listeners also. Do you look at everybody differently if they're not following the rules? Do you look at them as they're too close, or is this person a family member? Like, I saw four moms walking in the neighborhood and they weren't 6 feet apart, and I found myself, I didn't want to say anything, but I'm like, is it serious, or should you, or are you just finding yourself changing the way you even look at other people?
100%.
Like, everybody, you're supposed to look at as everybody is infected. If that's the, I mean, that's, is that the way we're supposed to? Because it's kind of scary. It entitles a lot of everyone to be that person that says something or gets angry at you for something.
Yeah.
And like, whoa, man, we're just trying to do the right thing here.
And I don't think if it's like you think if everybody is infected as like you're fearful and scared and you're walking around like,
I know, but that's easier said than done.
Yeah. But being conscious that they could be carrying it and not even know it. I think that is something like I find myself going like having the thoughts of, have I had this thing and I'm just asymptomatic? I just don't have, like, I don't know that I have it and I don't know that I'm carrying it, because there's a lot of people that have tested positive. They're like, I feel fine. I felt tired. Yeah. I think everybody at some point's like, in the last 2 weeks, have I felt wildly fatigued? And I think everybody will be like, yeah, well, there were those couple of days, but I don't know, because there's people that are saying, I haven't really felt much of anything except for I was tired a couple days.
Well, it's definitely, it's the fear of it or not knowing or anything. I'm looking at this and seeing just there's more anger and angst and working together sometimes is something a little easier. But some people are different. Others take it more serious and others are in denial. Others don't really care. Some are extremely serious about it. We just have, we got a lot of differences going on.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. So I guess long story short.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I, instead of thinking that everybody else has it, I have gone the route of thinking, hey, I'm going to keep everybody else safe because I don't know if I have it. It's a weird thing to think, but I don't have any symptoms, but you just don't know.
What are stores? I haven't gone to a store in a long time. And if it was gone to it, have you guys gone to a store? Are people copacetic?
I will tell you about it.
Okay.
When we come back. Also, next hour, college football's impact on the athletic departments. Your magic wand may happen come this fall. That is coming up next hour, as well as Brooke Olsendam, Dustin Cam.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.